Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
So it's all stretchy and clingy and stuff?
I see my nipples sometimes.
Wow.
No.
I'll call you...
not that bad.
I'll call you George Clooney Batman.
Yeah. Well, this should be fun. We'll just have fun with it.
Merry Christmas.
It's a Christmassy episode. And that's what it is. It's a Christmassy episode of the Casual Comics Cast with Joe, your casual comics guy, and we're going to talk DC Christmas comics with Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Ho, 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 everybody.
Gotta be the first one to your hose in, Jeff. That's not quite a Christmas tree behind you that looks like it's coming out of your head. It's more of a, it's very festive.
That's one of my wife's 2,000 houseplants.
Very festive. It looks like you're ready for the season.
I look like a Terry Gilliam animation from Monty Python.
You do, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Coming up on the Christmas season, so we thought we'd do some spread some Christmas comics cheer. And you know, the genesis behind this podcast was, Jeff, you and I went to a toy show, right?
Yes, the Midwest Collectibles Toy Show.
Okay.
Which is held 4 times a year in Omaha.
And I've never been there. This is great. It's a large toy show.
Yeah,
because you're more of a toy collector. I think we've talked about it. You're a Mego collector, right?
Oh, it's big time Mego guy. Yeah, not as big time as some collectors I've found out. I'm really just the casual Mego collector.
Hey, I smell a spinoff coming, or at least some Patreon only exclusive episodes.
There you go. You're gonna have to pay to hear about my weirdness.
Ah. Well, I mean, if I could get motivated to start a Patreon, maybe somebody pitch in a couple bucks, or maybe we get a sponsorship from Mego and at least get some free toys to review.
I'm thinking no. I'm thinking that's not going to happen.
We don't have a big enough audience yet.
No, not
Jeff,
yet.
You got to set your goals, though. Well, we never will if we don't establish it as a goal.
I can dream up here, you know, but...
You can achieve it, Jeff. I trust you. You can achieve your dreams.
Can I, though?
Did you ever believe
I'm 55, it hasn't happened so far.
Did you ever believe in your life that you would be on a world-famous podcast talking about comic books with no preparation at all?
I honestly always knew that this was going to happen.
Before the invention of the internet, I knew podcasts would be a thing.
Yeah, my mom was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a podcaster. She's like, okay, give that kid a special test.
I love it. So we were at the Midwest Toy Expo, which was a lot of toys. And you said to me, you know that I like the nerdy stuff. You're like, it's not going to be a lot of comics.
And it wasn't.
It lived up to its billing. But we did find a couple of comics.
Yes.
When was this? This was in September, October. Maybe before?
Yeah, I'm going to say it was early October.
Early October. And we found some Christmas comic books, oversized limited collector's editions, 2 from DC and 2 from Marvel. I read the Marvel one. Well, I may or may not choose to speak of the Marvel one at some point. But we're going to focus on the DC books that we bought from a very nice vendor. If I had his card with me, I would tell you where we got it from. But super fabulous guy. These are old, big, limited collector's editions, oversized. They tend to be reprints. But man, I was shocked at how many old Christmas-related stories DC had. I probably shouldn't have been. And we're going to run you through these couple of comics. And then we'll just do some naughty and nice lists. And then maybe you can talk to me about the Batman, the animated series that you watched and I did not. Because apparently you're unable to purchase individual episodes. Not all. Some.
Some.
On Amazon Prime. You can purchase some, but we're going to talk season 1, episode 38. And as I was eating a bowl of chili for lunch today, intending to watch it, so we could talk about it on the podcast, you can buy season 1, episodes 1 through 20.
Oh.
But anything above 20 in season 1, you must have an HBO Max subscription to watch.
Dude, if I had known you could have come over, we could have watched it together.
Could we have sat on the couch and had chili?
Yes, absolutely.
And then tooted later.
Chili and whiskey. You got it.
Hey, sounds like she's a little fireball that hasn't been mixed yet.
No, this is some Pendleton right here.
Oh.
Blended Canadian.
Fancy schmancy.
Mm-hmm.
Aged.
I got a little bit of a sore throat today, which not like sore throat like sick, but sore throat like I've been singing out of my range and have damaged my muscles.
Well, you wouldn't know it from listening to you, Jeff. You saw those same velvet pipes you always do on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So the funny thing that I remember from this toy show, though,
yeah,
is you describing a Mego figure that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And you were describing it in great detail. And it was very much, it was about how it was one that you were interested in, and it was interesting, and it had some kind of kung fu action feature that appeared to be not working because it didn't work frequently. What was the action feature? It was like a Batman, right?
I think it was a Batman figure. It was from a limited line of original Migos in the 70s that were called the Fist Fighters.
Fist Fighters, okay.
And the Fist Fighters had a little lever. It's like a little nub right on the back of the lower back that you could move from side to side. And the mechanism inside the torso would cause the arms to rotate up and down, which simulates throwing punches and whatnot. So that's a Fist Fighter. When I was a kid, I had Fist Fighter Joker.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. And as you were describing this figure to me, you also said something about the joints being loose and how you'd have to replace the joints on occasion.
Oh, yeah. Especially the knee pins. The knee pins failed quite regularly.
Okay. You were describing in great detail the figure to me of all the action features that it had and the various wear that you had observed. And as we were walking through the whole thing, I was like, I'm going to show you this figure that I saw earlier. And it was a room that hadn't been. I was like, and I took you in there. I was like, and before I even said that was the figure I was looking at, you're like, that's the one I was telling you about. I'm like, you didn't say it was the Batman with no clothes on. that's why I'm like, look, it's naked Batman.
Yeah. Migos, original Migos in the wild come in all. Hey, there goes my phone. Okay. I guess we can't mute that, can we?
Let's keep it professional. It's fine.
There we go.
You want to answer it? We can have a guest on the podcast.
I'll let Julie answer that.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks.
So we were talking about naked Batman.
Yeah, Migo. Naked Batman. Migos in the wild can range from mint in box to what are you possibly expecting to get for this broken piece of junk? This one was without a costume and a little bit, like you said, on the loose side where the joints are concerned. So he was in bad shape. And they were still asking pretty good money for him.
It was making me mad. I was laughing about it because I was like, you could not have described that in a way that was less likely for me to actually find the figure you were talking about because in my head is naked Batman.
I'm sorry I didn't use the phrase naked Batman. This piece of junk Mego sitting over here. But you know, true collectors, they would snatch that up and use them for parts.
Bet they would.
Absolutely. They would. And the nice thing about that toy show is that I found one of my Holy Grail pieces.
You did?
At there. I found a really nice Type 2 body Spider-Man. It was in just about perfect condition. And I was very, very happy to find it.
And you haggled. You did a nice job haggling with that guy.
Do you think I did?
I learned some tips from you. Yeah. I don't normally haggle at those kind of things. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I feel weird doing it.
I do too. I hate it. It's so totally against everything in my mind. But
you did it so smooth that it was like, I was like, I thought you were professional at it because he right away came down on his price, like without a blink. He wasn't offended. He was just like, yeah.
He was asking high. I think, you know, Spider-Man was one of the most widely produced figures, so asking a ton for him when you know that the scarcity just really isn't there. I knew I could talk down a little bit, and you know, I try not to be insulting about it. You know, I was like, "Oh, we'll give you $2," you know, or anything like that. But you know, I'm willing to shell out a specific amount to get a good quality figure.
Right. Well, it's all business, right? So I was very impressed. So thanks for taking me to that toy show. I'd never been to one before. Looking forward to the next one. Looking forward to the next comic show too. Those are a little farther between, I think, out here than they may be in Ohio, but. We'll get there someday.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk these Christmas comics. It's going to be a little chaotic. You know, I've got my caffeine-free diet Pepsi and you got your little holiday cheer to take care of the vocal cords, Jeff. It'll be a fast, furious, fun Christmas podcast, like sitting around the is it a Christmas goose that people have? It's a goose. You ever had goose for dinner?
I've never had goose. I can't imagine eating goose. It just seems like it'd be gamey and greasy and ugh.
I lived in Ohio long enough to hate geese.
No, I like them. They're here.
Jerks.
They're jerks. Yeah, they can be.
They are jerks. They are. They bother the ducks. They try and bully the ducks. It's not cool.
Yeah. Snow geese are pretty, though.
I don't know. What's this? Is it? I don't know what a snow goose is. All I know is we got those dang geese.
Mostly Canadians around here. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we will just tag team it and talk about, we each read one of these collections, about the stories in the collections. So take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Superman service at bizarro prices.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on a special Christmas DC Comics edition. Why does everybody say DC Comics? Like, DC is Detective Comics. They're sounding like Detective Comics comics.
Yeah, it's like saying ATM machine.
It's like my kid laughed when you're saying BFF forever. That was a slip up. That was a slip up. I actually know that. We get these limited collector's editions. Mine is called Christmas with the Superheroes from 1976. Is that also the title of yours?
That is also the title of mine, although mine is called Christmas with the Superheroes 1975.
Aha. Although, as you noted, they had the same serial number on them for some reason.
Yeah.
So
it was very strange.
Christmas with the Superheroes 1976 is a festive. These are oversized books. I should have measured them before, but these are these are not like digest. They're not normal comic size. They're like treasury edition size, which is extra large.
Almost like 14 inch.
Yeah, could be. I'm trying to eyeball it versus like an 11 by 14 picture I have over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this is a nice format. I like it. Mine on the front has a picture of Santa in the front of his sleigh with Batman, Wonder Woman, Kane from the House of Mystery, and then Sandman and his sidekick Sandy on Santa's sleigh, which is being carried by Superman.
Oh, you mean he's carrying it?
He's carrying it, which makes more sense than the picture we saw where of the Hulk in the Marvel comic.
Where he was flying.
Hulk is flying and pulling Santa's sleigh, which makes no sense. At least this one, Superman's carrying it.
More on that later in my Superman story.
Oh boy. So this Christmas of the Superheroes, it does have multiple stories in it. It's got a Superman story, which the contents, I love the contents in this book. It just like encapsulates contents. Superman goes to the North Pole to give Santa a hand. Okay. I don't know if it's like Santa needs some chores done, or Santa is just feeling like low self-esteem and wants a little round of applause. We'll give Santa a hand. I don't know. Batman finds a quiet, I say that because it's like the character's name is all caps and bold. Batman finds a quiet miracle on Christmas in the Silent Night of the Batman. From the House of Mystery comes one of Kane's favorites, Night Prowler. I like this one. Wonder Woman battles some Nazi no-goodniks to bring about a Merry Christmas during World War II.
Oh, those wascoey Nazis.
Those no-goodniks. I'm just going to spank them and sit them over in the corner.
Yeah, and tie them up because it's a Wonder Woman comic from the 40s.
Right. And then the Sandman and Sandy tackle a holiday racket when Santa fronts for the mob, which is my favorite of the story titles, at least. Santa fronts for the mob. What's in your book there, Jeff?
Oh, mine has Silent Night, Deadly Night, starring the Batman. On Christmas Eve, an errand of mercy with the life of an elderly toy manufacturer hanging in the balance. There's Billy Batson's Xmas starring Shazam, or, you know, Captain Marvel, as I like to call him, but, you know.
I pronounce it Shazam.
You're a very strange man. There's a feature called...
You want to know what my kids will not forget? Is that the one day, and just apropos of nothing, I'm sitting outside of a coffee shop and I told my one kid, I was like, Whenever I see, I just ran. I'm like, you know, whenever I see the word chamomile, I know it's chamomile, but I wish it was chamomile. I'd like to go, can I get some chamomile tea? It's more fun.
What is that? Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Sorry. Chasm.
The next one is a weird little
John
comic.
Chasm.
I can dig it.
That John Chasm is one bad.
Shut your mouth.
You gotta have another drink for that one.
More whiskey. Okay. There's a cute little comic feature called The Angel and the Ape.
I know nothing about The Angel and the Ape.
I don't either, except that they have drawn the angel to be just the cutest little girl you've ever seen in your life. She's adorable.
Does the ape
is
look,
just a goofy looking ape.
Does he look anything like Grape Ape?
Not purple.
In my mind, he should. But does he look more like McGilla Gorilla?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
But Angel looks like, you know, a cross between, say, Josie and the Pussycats and Betty and Veronica.
I like it because every generation that is listening to our podcast will absolutely know every one of those references we just said.
I think I saw Josie and the Pussycat in the 90s. That was a bad movie.
Hey, what a great soundtrack from Matthew. Who's on the soundtrack to that? Like Letters to Cleo is on the soundtrack to that. And I think Matthew really? Sweet wrote the music a lot.
Well, that doesn't sound wrong at all.
So it's a good soundtrack. I used to have the soundtrack.
Lincoln, Nebraska's own Matthew Sweet. Then there's a Teen Titans feature, which is basically a monumental ripoff of A Christmas Carol. And then there's
ripoff of Christmas Carol. It's in the public domain.
Huge.
Come on.
It's
I just read an article online. Good. Top 10 characters you won't believe got Christmas caroled.
Were the Teen Titans one of the groups?
I don't know. We will find out.
And then there's a Superman feature that just Superman in the 40s was really not where it's at. That's all I'm going to say.
And that's what I'll say. I'm glad I was in a Christmas spirit because I didn't like, I grew up more Marvel. And then I read a lot of DC, but I didn't read anything DC that was this old when I was growing up.
Right.
And I read some of these and I'm like, no wonder parents saw this rotted kid's brains.
And see, this is the stuff that I was weaned on because I didn't really have comics. I had, like I said, I've said before, I had these three books that were anthologies of Superman and Batman and Shazam from the 30s and 40s to the 70s. And that was my main source of comic book stuff.
Yeah, but I get you. I was reading stuff, but I wasn't reading it this far back, like on some of these, like the original, the original Wonder Woman is a little, kind of a little dicey there for a few minutes.
Boy, original Wonder Woman is rough stuff.
Yeah. So overall, I would say I'm glad I read this because it was interesting. Mm-hmm. It was fun at parts. Like, so I'll talk about the Superman story here where Superman goes to the North Pole to give Santa a hand. And I didn't know this was what Superman comics were like, but I was glad they showed him like as a newspaper reporter and him and Lois, of course it's Christmas and they need a story. So they are going to go down to the local stores, the department stores, and check out, as Perry says, cover the local department stores and write a couple features on the activity going on. I can't turn on a TV around Black Friday without seeing 100 news articles about people shopping for Christmas. This was a thing in the 40s. Newspapers like, send our crack reporting team down to the department stores to write a story about people shopping.
Yeah, I mean, what else was there to cover at that point? You didn't have a 24-hour news cycle going on with, news 24/7 and available on your phone. You had to go get a paper.
Right. And when you got that paper, you were hoping to read about people shopping at stores, not anything urgent or important, I guess. So Clark comes up with this mega brainstorm, which is great. He's a kind person. But how about if we start collecting toys for kids who can't afford them?
Oh, very nice. Planet?
They're doing the, what did they have here in Omaha? The stuff, the bus, or whatever it was called.
Sure.
Trying to get that. And then he uses his super peeping powers to peep in through walls and watch kids.
Okay, stop.
Well, it's Christmas time, so he's trying to see, he's hearing what's going on, and there's a kid that's very wealthy, who's not appreciative of his toys. So like, this is really like, it's not like this is a Superman. Like now you have Superman comics that are like, definitely you buy the Superman comics and they have like a separate section. Like, here's Superman for little kids. No, it's like Superman's flying around with this little kid to teach him a lesson. I thought it was going to turn in.
Oh, your audio dropped off, bud. Can you hear me?
Oh, no.
Oops, sorry about that. Small technical glitch, but we're coming back right about now.
That was really weird.
You just dropped.
It's just in the middle of something.
Well, I know, right?
It's probably Santa mad at me bad-mouthing what was going on in the Superman comic. So we'll pretend that nothing happened there.
Okay.
I don't know how to recover from technical difficulties. We'll put in some jingle bells. but the story goes all wonky from there. It's like Santa's flying around with this kid trying to show him how... At first I was like, is this like a reverse wonderful life of how life's going to be better without you being born? And I'm like, is it a Christmas carol to do? But no, it's just Santa flying around with this kid carrying him kind of like you'd carry a football. It's like under his arm flying around the entire city. And being like, hey, kid. And then the kid is like, you're right. Compared to all those poor kids, I suck. In the meantime, Dr. Grouch has decided he's going to put an end to Christmas by invading the North Pole and not destroy Santa, but convince Santa, you're a sucker doing this for free. Let's use all of your labor and we'll have a toy company. And this will make so much money together. And of course, the elves are having none of this. It's a giant fight. He puts a... Like and then he's like, oh, that didn't work. That sucked with Santa. So now their plan is to wreck the Daily Bugle for distributor, the Daily Planet for distributing toys. Like, well, Santa won't stop. At least we can stop these people from giving toys to poor kids. And their mask is they just put like neckerchiefs over their faces, and they have a gas gun that like shoots roofie gas at you or something. It's this unnecessarily weirdly needless. They're gassing the elves and they're gassing Superman, but he holds his breath, but he's Clark Kent, so he pretends to pass out. Then they strap Lois to a giant, basically a giant like skyrocket, like sure. Firework thing with there's a big stick in the ground, and this giant thing is like, we're gonna strap Lois on this and shoot her in space,
as one does.
I'm like, this is like taking it beyond tying her to a railroad track, and she's like flying through space attached to this thing. Superman rescues her. Of course, Metropolis must be the smallest city in the entire universe because everybody sees what's happening going on.
Sure.
All over the, oh, I see Superman rescued her in space. Oh, I saw the North Pole over there through my telescope and I can see what's going on. And then Santa gets on the radio calling Superman for help there because they've stolen his reindeer. Superman gets the reindeer back, and then the guy's like, I gas these reindeer. I'm going to stop Santa one way or another. And this is way longer of a story than I ever thought it was. Superman, so this is where the Superman carrying the sleigh comes from. The reindeer are knocked out from the knockout gas. And then to wrap it all up, Santa decides to give presents to Dr. Grouch and his evil sidekick anyway.
Aw.
Because he's like, there's good in even you. And then Dr. Grouch is like, I am so sorry for all of that. I know I kidnapped Lois Lane. Here she is, Superman. Go ahead. Godspeed with you. And Superman's like, bye. The Christmas spirit has overcome you and made you into a good person.
And has pardoned you for your crime, so you don't need to go to jail or court or anything like that.
I mean, he literally was at the North Pole, tied her to a rocket and shot her into space. And Superman's like, see you later, pal. So I mean, if you're like 8 years old, cute. Yes. Story. Mm-hmm. Probably gives you a good lesson about being grateful for what you have. The rich kid at the end, Superman's like, hey, I wonder what's going on with James, and he has decided to give all the toys he doesn't want or need anymore to all the kids who can't afford toys with the help of his butler, of course.
Sure.
I need a butler,
as one does,
right? So overall, the Superman story was, I would have enjoyed it if I was like 8.
Right. And that's very much where Superman, yeah, comics were in the 40s. They were very much geared towards kids.
That's very weird. Like, I even read like I've been reading X-Men and Spider-Man from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that kiddie. It's no,
40s. 40s was very much towards kids. In the 60s, you're starting to get a little bit more sophistication in the writing.
Okay.
A little bit, especially the later you go in the 60s.
What'd you read, Jeff?
Well, I had a Superman story that I, quite frankly, I'm not going to be able to recall it in the detail that you recalled yours.
That's okay. I probably recalled mine in way too much detail, only because I had it right in front of me.
Perry White assigns Lois and Clark to cover the Christmas in Christmastown, USA, which apparently is underwater. It's being flooded. So there's this wealthy guy who's like a junk dealer, and he has this magical thing that transforms junk. Wait a minute. That's a totally other story. That's the Teen Titans story. Wow, man. See, I read this really quickly. It's the guy who was he wants his son to be there to play Santa because it's a family tradition, and the son got hit in the head and can't remember who he is, and he's trying to get back and play Santa, and everything will be great, whatever. But Christmastown is flooded, and Superman comes across these guys that he's looking for, and they're rowing in a boat. So what does Superman do to help them and get them to safety? What would you guess?
I don't even have a clue.
You think that he'd pick them up and fly them away like he did Santa's sleigh on the cover of your
That is the obvious choice, but the way you frame the question makes me understand that he probably submerged them underwater and blew a giant bubble around them.
Nope. He gets in and rows for them.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm Superman and I can row forever. You could also fly him to where you need to do whatever.
He fly at that point, though, or was he still just leaping tall buildings in a single bound?
He was flying by that point. Okay. Leaping tall buildings was 2-3 years, and then they went to just straight flying.
It was surprising to me. And again, the reason I ask is because in the Wonder Woman story I read, it was surprising to me how like lame kind of she was and not superpowered at all.
Oh, and she got captured by men in every episode and tied up with her lasso.
Yeah, but I was just wondering if Superman was the same way. I think he didn't start off being like he is now, like this invincible godlike being.
No, and quite frankly, I would love for Superman to be knocked down about 50 pegs back to close to where he was when he started, because that would make him, you know, a viable member of a team instead of an omnipotent god that could just replace everybody.
So you do want to see him rowing a boat.
No, but I do want to see him constructing an ark, which he does in this episode. Goes and chops down trees and builds an ark. Christmas ark.
Maybe flying gets him all tuckered out.
It could. I mean, it would make me a little groggy, I'm sure. Yeah, but anyway, it's the lamest of stories, and it's so 40s in its storytelling and its style, and it doesn't survive well into the modern era.
All right. Well, in the spirit of Christmas, I'm going to run you through. There were a couple stories in here I liked.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about House of Mystery. Do you know much about DC's House of Mystery?
It certainly rings a bell. Who are we talking?
House of Mystery, I know mostly from Sandman, the more recent Neil Gaiman series.
Okay.
Which, did you watch that on Netflix?
No.
It's quite good. It's quite true to the comic, too.
Yeah.
But I know of House of Mystery from that, and not much else. It appears to be a mystery sort of Tales from the Crypt, Creepshow type anthology about weird things.
Uh-huh.
And the hosts are Cain and Abel.
Okay. From the Bible?
The Cain and Abel. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I believe there's a separate series besides House of Mystery. It's something else that was paired with. But this particular story, it's only a few pages, written by Len Wein. Len Wein.
Mm-hmm. Wein?
And mm-hmm. art by Bernie Wrightson. So
don't know that name.
Who very did the long run on the Swamp Thing. And a lot of like spooky type stuff, which I liked a lot. And it starts off, man, with Cain sitting here in this I don't know, this lady in a Santa outfit who's quite
good. God,
va va voom, kids, go from Superman to boy, you'll be a man soon. A
little cheesecake there.
And it's literally just a couple of pages. This has to be more from the 70s. And it's sort of a horror thing. Literally, I'm looking at it now. It's 4 pages, including that full page picture I just showed you of the highly attractive woman stirring a giant kettle while Kane introduces the story.
Sure.
And it's just a couple in bed. They've gone to bed after all the bad news. And the guy's like, it's all bad news. War, racial strife, murder, mugging, this whole world's going to hell. Which is a great setup, right?
Sure.
We got to get this, turn this TV off. And it's a story about a night prowler who's in their neighborhood or who's been stalking the city. And the woman wakes up in the middle of the night. There's some spooky sound downstairs and they're freaking out. And she's like, go downstairs and check it out. And they're freaking out. He's like, hold on. Where's my shotgun? And he pulls his shotgun out of the closet and he stalks down the stairs. And he's like, this is it. I'm going to shoot first and ask questions later. And thinking to myself, this is a Christmas story. Is Santa going to just face blasted off by a shotgun?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
And the guy's like, all you see is you only see the man with the gun. He's like, freeze. He's like, who are you? And then he gets this smile on his face and he walks back upstairs and goes to bed. And his wife is like, what's going on? And he's like, don't worry, everything's fine. I think there's still hope in this world somehow. And he closes his eyes and says, Merry Christmas to her. And the narration says there's a sound of hoofbeats and bells off their roof. Santa was there.
It was Santa. Did
not get his face blasted off and has brought Christmas cheer in a different way to this couple.
Oh, very nice. I'm very glad Santa didn't get mortally wounded.
Christmas magic, kids. Any particular? There's another story I like a lot in here too, and I think I let you read it the other day. And it is, I mean, this is the first one I read, and I was so looking forward to it. And it is a Batman story, and it's a Silent Night. And the story, I think, is amazing because it largely is silent. I'm looking for it now. I don't think it even says. It says at the end. You thought this was Denny O'Neil, is that right?
Was the writer, sure, because he was big on Batman in the early 70s.
This was written by Mike Friedrich.
Oh, I was wrong.
And art by Neil Adams and Dick Giordano.
Neil Adams, sure. Okay.
Julie Schwartz, editor at the time, though. So, right in that era. But it's like, it's a very touching story of just Batman getting the bat signal and Commissioner Gordon being like, Batman, we're here because you're going to take a night off. And he's like, I don't know why. And Batman's like, crime doesn't, you know, it's not dark and gritty like Batman gets to be, but he's like, you know, hey, crime doesn't take time off for the holidays. And they're like, but tonight's gonna be different. We just can feel it. And it's like, I love it. He's like, come on, Batman, join our chorus. And Batman just starts singing Christmas carols at the police station with the police, thinking, I'll just hang out here and sing Christmas carols and enjoy myself. Until the obvious disaster strikes, it's going to strike. And it's just scenes from around the city of good things happening, things like criminals. There's one with a criminal kind of being thwarted in a way that he just like decides he feels guilty and he gives up being a criminal. People just like nice things happening to people at Christmas. And then Batman realizing, holy crap, it's been all Christmas night. And I haven't been disturbed by a robbery or a drug deal or a murder or anything. And then he's like, this was nice. And do you see like some Christmas spirit actually talking to him and saying, you know, this is Batman, you know, this is your night. And it's like, that was his present, a night off. And he's like, the end. It's like, that's great.
So it's a big nothing happens story.
It is, but it's nice that nothing happens. And it's all told, like the pages are just like, all silently told while they're singing Christmas carols or just nice things happening around Gotham City. And it's like, when's the last time you got 10 or 12 pages of nice things happening around Gotham City and Batman not having to kick anyone's ass?
Well, that is a nice change of pace. And it kind of falls in line with the Chuck Jones rule of animation. If you can do a cartoon with absolutely zero dialogue and you can convey a story and emotions and all of that stuff, then you are truly an animator. So you're truly a comic storyteller if you can do what this story does. You're using the medium to its full potential.
Exactly. Comics are a visual medium. Mm-hmm. Were there any in your book that you particularly liked?
No, not really. Teen Titans story was from 1967. And yeah, like I said, it was a total
Titans at that point.
It's going to be Robin and Wonder Girl and Kid Flash and Aqualad.
Okay.
And maybe Speedy. I can't remember if Speedy was in it or not.
But, so it's still a total sidekick squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's 1967. So Wonder Girl is frequently referred to as Wonder Chick.
Hey. Hey now.
And nobody seems to think there's anything wrong with that.
It's a groovy time.
Wonder Chick. Yeah. And it's really
sounds
just
like
an
she's
excuse
some kind
to
of barnyard fowl.
No, she's very much Wonder Woman's sidekick kind of thing going on there. But the story really is just a really, really thinly, I mean, just onion paper thinly veiled retelling of Christmas Carol.
Yeah. So who is it that's getting Christmas caroled?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge? By who? Yeah.
What's that?
Well, and so what? Why does he need to have the Christmas carol done to him? And how are the Teen Titans involved in that at all?
Well, that's just it.
Is like Wonder Chick the ghost of Christmas future?
No, they're just kind of there as like Greek chorus watching the whole thing happen. It really is kind of a lame story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that these turned out this way. I still had a good time shopping for them with you.
No. That was fun. Batman story was pretty good. Batman story was Batman starts out thinking that he's, you know, nabbing some crook, some bad guy. But it turns out he's just a guy who's down on his luck and trying to provide for his daughter. And the story ends up very nicely in the end with this man on his way to being reformed and Batman experiencing the true meaning of Christmas. So that was a nice one. And that was a Danny O'Neill story.
Okay. So we got a couple good Batman stories in there.
Yeah. And there was a Shazam story about Billy Batson buying presents and he's trying to figure out what he should get Captain Marvel. And then Captain Marvel has to come on the scene and do whatever superheroics he does. And he's like, well, while I'm here, I might as well shop. Gee, I wonder what I should get for Billy. So
don't tell me he got him a golden hairbrush. You remember the old golden hairbrush? I got my wife. She had to sell her hair. She bought him something, and it's a total. See,
I always remember the Steve Martin short story, where he buys his wife like kneecap polish, and she sells her kneecaps in order to pay him some dentist.
Is that what happens with Billy Batson and Shazam?
No, they have gifts at the end that really Billy gets a loud tie, which he's always wanted. And, let's see, what did Shazam get? Oh, he got a set of tiddlywinks. So, wow. 1947 storytelling at its best.
Hey man, tiddlywinks is something at least, but these were also treasury editions, right? So at least mine had some mazes for kids. I'm not going to talk about this Wonder Woman story because it just like went way weird places.
Sure did. Yep. They always did.
A little maze, a little crossword, or one of those word searches. Yours had some fun holiday greetings from heroes and villains, right?
It really kind of did.
You want to give me one or two?
Mostly villains. And let's take a look at the end here. This is, let's rotate our screen. The supervillains speak out on Christmas.
All right. Lay it on me, man.
Lex Luthor. I hate Christmas because every year some clown in my organization of criminals sends me a hairpiece. One year they sent me a paste on sideburns, too. I hate the whole idea so much that I could pull my hair out if I had any.
Oh, man.
And let's see here. Joker. Ha, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am full of Christmas spirit, goodwill for men, with me as the beneficiary. Ha, ha, ha. Peace on earth and a big piece of the action for yours truly. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And there's a bunch more in there, but mine they're all equally silly.
Yeah, mine did just have some sing-along and had Christmas carols that were just normal Christmas carols. that had the lyrics reprinted in case you want to take this book, No Christmas Caroling. I forgot the before I did read The Sandman, Santa Fronts for the Mob. And the only thing that I liked about it, I mean, it was okay. It was, again, it was one of these from the 40s by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, of all people.
Really?
But do you know much about The Sandman as a character?
I know absolutely nothing about The Sandman.
I know almost nothing about the original Sandman also, except he had a sidekick named Sandy. And the two of them, have a way to traverse across between buildings that seems similar to Batman's grappler, except every time that they shoot it, they keep saying that they need to get the wire poon. And the first time it's hyphenated, so
you're not going to get a reaction out of me on this one.
So the
sorry.
Two words were so the word had the hyphen, it was broken across two lines. I'm like, what are they saying? The wire poon? What? Like, oh, it's like a harpoon with a wire. The wire,
right? Oh dear.
Merry Christmas to all.
God bless us all. Everyone.
Good night. So that is our DC Christmas with the superheroes recap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, come on.
It was fun. Those big I remember buying
read,
those.
But it's a yeah. joy to talk about.
I remember buying those when I was a kid in the 70s when they would do these big reprint. What size did you call them? Treasury editions?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had two or three of these when I was a kid, and I loved them, and I just read them over and over and over again. They were a lot of fun.
They're a lot of fun to talk about. I'll say that. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll just chat a little more nonsense about DC Comics and Christmas, and then wrap up with a special holiday cheers. Be right back.
Great Caesar's Ghost! You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right. This is fun. I'm having a good time. I'm good. Getting in the holiday spirit, even though I'm not drinking any holiday spirits right now.
Not yet.
Not yet. If I read one more Wonder Woman comic, I swear to God, I'm going to need to.
You're going to need to drink heavily to cope with all the bondage.
Nothing. I mean, modern Wonder Woman comics, I find amazing. I love the way they dive into the Greek mythology. We covered on a previous podcast, Mike and I read one of the recent Wonder Woman runs, which was great. Love Wonder Girl, what Joelle Jones is doing with that title. Just going back into the days where, I don't know, I haven't seen the movies about the guy who created Wonder Woman, but has a bit of a freak on a leash, I think.
If you had seen them, you would understand completely why Wonder Woman has so much bondage theme in its early edition.
And the spanking in this one. So I'm like, I don't know how you get it in there. But regardless, we are going to chat a little bit more. I know, Jeff, we don't want to spend a ton of time on it. It's kind of funny because I was texting you again saying, hey, we're going to watch Batman the Animated Series Christmas with the Joker to talk about on the podcast. I couldn't get it. And your text to me was said, first it was like, you can stop by my house and watch it if you want to. You're not missing much. What did I not miss?
Christmas with the Joker, season one, episode 38 of Batman the Animated Series, a series that is revered by bat fans far and wide. And the opening credits of the Batman the Animated Series are a work of art. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Once you actually get into the cartoon, there was better animation in the opening credits of the Adam West Batman than there is in this actual episode. The animation left a lot to be desired.
Is that a season one thing? Because I remember loving Batman the Animated Series. I taped them all. I had them all on VHS. And I don't remember the animation being that bad. Is it? Do you think it's a season one thing and they got better as it went along?
Or I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched them, but that very well could be. I mean, season one of any show is usually rough. And for example, Star Trek The Next Generation, I tell people, you know, watch one or two key episodes, but then start with season three, because seasons one and two, they're really trying really hard to find themselves.
And especially if I think about like what we just talked about, this is episode 38. In a single season, they did 40 plus episodes.
That's astonishing.
It's a lot.
Especially when you're talking animation.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work to do.
Right.
So, which is why I guess I can forgive the fact that the animation was not 100%.
But what about the storytelling, Jeff?
The storytelling. So we start out in Arkham, and it is Christmas, and everybody's singing Christmas carols, and they're decorating a tree. And Joker, of course, climbs a ladder to put the star on top of the tree. But putting the star on top of the tree turns the tree into a rocket, which Joker grabs a hold of and rides all the way out to his freedom.
This being a Christmas episode, was there any appearance from Calendar Man?
No.
What?
I did not see Calendar Man in this entire episode, unless he was lurking in the background as like an Easter egg, but no.
I mean, you can see that a Christmas tree is kind of rocket ship shaped, so.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, you can ignite the Christmas tree and it will shoot like a rocket instead of, you know, totally burning your house down in the space of about 2 minutes.
More plausible than tying a woman to a giant skyrocket and shooting her into outer space on a stick. So they've come a long way.
They've come a long way. They really have. So Joker gets free and he immediately has everything you could possibly need in a hideout set up, including TV broadcasting facilities and all of that stuff. So it was all taken care of apparently by somebody else.
Does he have a podcast?
No, because podcasts didn't exist at that point. This is the 90s. There were no podcasts yet, but I'm sure that if they were to do one today, that's exactly what Joker would be doing.
You don't think he'd be TikToking?
I feel that's more of a Riddler kind of thing.
Mm. Ooh, we should do match the supervillain to their social media platform at some point. All right. Sorry, I keep interrupting because I didn't watch it. So I'm just going to sit here in the peanut gallery as you're telling me the plot of this show.
I pretty much just told you the plot right there.
Okay.
He kidnaps Commissioner Gordon and some lady and a police officer guy who is kind of a regular on the show. And he puts them in various perilous situations with a candy cane stuck in their mouth so they can't talk, and Batman tries to track down where they're broadcasting from, and eventually he ends up saving the day and everything comes out just fine. And
so other than the Joker using a giant Christmas tree to escape from Arkham, what's the Christmas tie-in?
Not a whole lot.
Santa's not there anywhere. No elves, no reindeer, no.
No, I mean, there's snow and stuff, but I don't know. I watched it 2 days ago.
Well, I mean, I would assume if there's a stronger Christmas tie-in, you would remember if there was a Christmas Carol type situation going on.
No, it was nothing like that. It was really kind of a pretty threadbare plot. So,
okay. So yeah. They kind of just slapped the Christmas theme on it so they could say they had a Christmas episode. And then try to convince me to sign up for HBO Max and fail miserably.
Like I said, you can come over anytime and we can watch to your heart's content. One of the biggest problems that I had with the whole thing, when I was saying like the animation was kind of subpar, was that the Batmobile in this story is about as long as a dragster.
That's how they made it in that show, though.
I know.
I thought you were going to say the Batmobile lost a wheel and then the Joker got away.
No, but he did sing that. He did sing that in the opening. Mark Hamill's just chewing scenery and it's a beautiful thing. But the Batmobile is like 40 feet long.
Yeah, that's really presented it in the show.
I know.
I was like, how does it take corners?
Exactly. It was the clunkiest looking animation as it's winding its way through all these streets and everything. I'm like, how in the world did the animators even make that happen? You needed to cut that thing down a little bit. I get it. It looks cool when it's sitting there, but in practice, it just doesn't.
It's stylish.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's, you know, I don't want to belabor the, it sounds like they didn't put a lot of thought into the tying the plot into Christmas. So we don't
really
have to spend a lot of time shoehorning it into our Christmas podcast before we get to the Christmas naughty and nice list.
Oh,
so we talked about
nice
this
list.
We talked about this and I know I didn't give you a ton of notice, but like,
nope.
of the DC heroes, which ones do you think are really actually secretly probably on the naughty list?
Oh, Batman.
Like Batman?
Oh, yeah.
Why, though?
He does. Well, because he uses all kinds of intimidation tactics. And his whole thing is to instill fear in order to get bad guys off their game. But it's hardly a sporting thing to do.
If the bad guys are the real people on the naughty list, doesn't Santa go by the enemy of my enemy must also be my friend?
You'd think, but no.
Come on.
No.
You get your Santa logic there. I got.
And if you're talking Batman from the movies, I mean, he's shooting people left and right. The Batfleck Batman is.
Yeah, I don't count that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
The one that came to me was Guy Gardner, Green Lantern.
Okay.
Obviously, Guy Gardner. Do you know much about Guy Gardner?
I have an action figure of him.
Okay. Well, then you know what you need to know. By the haircut alone, you can kind of tell he's a jerk. He's just the jerkiest of all the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
He's arrogant. He's cocky. He doesn't always do nice things. And the crowning achievement of Justice League, I believe it was Justice League International, was when Batman punched him in the face and knocked him out. And all of the other heroes were like cheering for that. Like, because the guy just never shut up. He was a giant jerk all the time.
Nice.
All the time.
Nice. Yeah. I'd say also maybe Black Adam. He's an anti-hero, so he's kind of a hero, although in my mind he's always going to be a villain. But his tactics are it's whatever it takes. It means justify the ends. And so I can't believe Santa would go along with that.
The ends justify the mean. I don't know though. Like, I came up with a theme and I was like, it tends to be more people. I thought it would be like surprising. Like, you've got a lot of anti-hero type characters like Lobo in the DC universe,
right?
But like your classic, because of the way like these characters really started more in the 40s and 30s, they all are just kind of goody-goody, which is maybe what makes them less interesting and less complex than other characters. Like, try and find a Flash who's like a jerk. It's hard to find.
Bart Allen.
They turn evil sometimes.
Yeah, right? They do. Heck yeah.
Like Hal Jordan turned evil and killed everybody. Like, he destroyed whatever the whole city that Green Arrow is from. Is it Coast City?
I think so. Yeah, he killed everyone in Coast City?
Oh, yeah. And then it was like, oh, he was infected by Parallax, an alien. Like, they're all getting their minds taken over all the time.
So right.
They just become bad guys.
I do know Parallax because I actually watched that movie.
That should be the people who made that movie should be on Santa's Not a List. What about villains? Villains, I think, might be easier. Is villains that they're presented as villains, but you're like, they may be on, they may deserve a Christmas goodie from Santa beyond the night.
Yeah. I'm an old softie. I'd go with Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze is one that's always presented as very sympathetic.
Yeah. Well, ever since Batman the Animated Series, he is.
Right.
Because that's when they retconned his story to be about trying to save his wife.
But not so much on the DC the DC TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still kind of a jerk, but then he's also turns into a good guy on that show too, right? Legends of Tomorrow.
Did they have Mr. Freeze on Legends of Tomorrow?
I thought he was.
Yeah, they had all kinds of characters on there. I haven't watched it, so I couldn't be sure.
Mr. Freeze comes to mind. I did just read One Bad Day, Mr. Freeze, which I'm really super enjoying. They're doing a series right now in DC. It's called One Bad Day, and it's each issue is a one-shot, and it's a Batman villain, and just has a fictionalized account of here's them encountering Batman, and like, they don't really tie into continuity, but they show you Mr. Freeze as a sympathetic character, but not, it's interesting because they take, like you said, Mr. Freeze had a redemption moment in Batman the Animated Series, where like, he became this way because he was trying to save his wife.
Right.
And there's an accident. And they twisted in this comic to be more like he was obsessed, jealous husband also.
Oh.
And they control freak. And so even though she was dying, he froze her because he's like, she's never going to get away from me, even in death.
Oh, see, now that just ruins it.
Right.
Yeah.
They do that all the time, though. Yeah. There's other villains, though, that, you know, aren't necessarily so bad, because Batman, I think, just has a ton of goofy villains. Like we were talking about Calendar Man.
Yeah. There's
some goofy Flash villains too.
Oh boy. I was just about to say Flash's Rogues Gallery rivals Batman's any day of the week.
Who's the ones who are not so bad? They're just goofy.
Well, Reverse Flash is psychotic and evil. So he's out. Captain Boomerang is, he's ruthless and vicious, but you know, at the end of the day, I don't think he's truly evil.
What about Weather Wizard?
Weather Wizard I'm sorry, that character is forever sullied by the TV show The Legends of the Superheroes, where he was played by comedian Jeff Altman.
Oh, no.
Who I loved as a comedian because he got was really, steak. Really...
It's a butt steak. Big and good. Hot and spicy. See... Sweet and meaty.
Do you see a proton or an electron up my nose? He was so absurd. I loved him. I forgive him for Pink Lady and Jeff, but yeah, Weather Wizard, he's just a petty criminal who gets lucky and gets a weather device that gives him a bunch of power.
What about Gorilla Grodd?
Gorilla Grodd, I can't completely fault. Right? I don't think he's completely evil.
So there's some there.
Yeah. So Grodd can get a banana.
Grodd gets a banana.
Batman, a whole bunch of bananas.
Batman had some goofy ones. They actually present Killer Croc sometimes as a bit of a sympathetic, misunderstood character too.
Sure. Sure.
I'm not sure. There's been like five versions of Clayface.
Yeah. What about Deadshot?
I don't know a ton about Deadshot. It's almost weird now that we're talking through them all that we're like, I just don't know that many, but they all start and they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, some of them, a lot of them, they just sort of flip back and forth and their continuity is so long. They're like, what is going on here? Like they were good. Now they're bad. I mean, Harley Quinn is now presented more as a hero. So maybe Harley's just misunderstood.
Or she's on her meds.
Right. I mean, she was a psychiatrist and she had a tragic origin too.
Yeah.
Very abusive relationship. And now as long as she keeps it on the download, she's usually trying to do the right
thing. Yeah.
She's trying, which is interesting. You know, Catwoman.
Catwoman is very much an anti-hero.
A little petty larceny now and again, never hurt nobody.
Yeah, but she means well.
It's not really petty larceny when it's like fistfuls of diamonds.
Right? Well, they're sparkly. Who can blame her?
Sure. Why not? Sinestro started out as kind of a good guy.
No, he was one of the Green Lantern Corps.
Right?
You don't get to be a Green Lantern by being a jerk. They pick you because you're pure of heart and you're brave.
Well, we just talked about Guy Gardner, so I don't know if that's completely true. Maybe they need a better screening process there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, overall, I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know that we came to any conclusions, but I had a good discussion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's occurring to me that I don't know the DC universe nearly as well.
Yeah.
I thought I did.
The thing is...
Two-Face also, depending on the day...
Well, Two-Face is a tragic figure as well, because he was a very, very good guy. And then he gets scarred mentally, emotionally, physically, and stuff goes south for him. The thing is, I have a hard time with Santa giving gifts to any of the villains, because quite frankly, how do you get gifts for villains who just go out and steal whatever they want in the first place?
Because maybe like Dr. Grouch in this comic book, all they need is somebody to recognize that deep down inside they're good and they can change their ways.
Oh, God bless us, everyone.
Jeff, I don't know. I don't know where I thought this was going to go as a podcast, but I'm glad we did it.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Sometimes it's just the journey.
Yep, exactly.
We're all living it. I'll tell you what, it was more fun than not recording a podcast. And I hope... people had more fun than they would have. Were they not listening?
There you go.
That's all we can hope for.
Just that's all we can hope
for. A little Christmas cheer. And if you didn't like it, have a little Christmas spirit.
And nice listen again. Right.
just download it and don't give us a bad review. I don't think we've still gotten hardly any reviews. That would be a great Christmas gift, is some 5-star reviews from some people on the platform of your choice.
Yeah. Who aren't part of the podcast staff.
I think we did have one review on Apple that wasn't from somebody that was part of the staff, but we'll see. We need to do maybe in 2020, maybe we need to do some podcast New Year's resolutions here before the end of the year.
For in 2020?
2023. Oh, okay. I stopped myself in the middle of the 2023. Man, so what other Christmas nerdiness should we talk about before the end of the year? Should we watch a Doctor Who Christmas special?
You can. I've never been a Doctor Who fan. Sorry. Sorry to all of you diehard Doctor Who fans out there. It just did never
I'm finishing up Doctor Who Flux, which is the most recent last one, because I am bound to determine. I was obsessed with Doctor Who for a long time, and then I spent the last 3 or 4 years not watching Doctor Who at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I am going to get caught up, because when the new old showrunner takes over, it will be good again. I feel
You're getting through the last of the Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who. Yeah.
And I feel bad because I like her as an actress, and I was so excited for her to take over the role.
Uh-huh.
And man, that Chris Chibnall, that guy deserves a big lump of coal, because that guy, the show I loved so much. And I went, like, I got it, man, because Doctor Who, you kind of got to stick through. But a lot of their important episodes are Christmas episodes, where there's a big change that takes place, or it sets up something important. And they're all standalone, so you don't have to know anything, but they usually use them as a way to hook you in. The guy even stopped doing Christmas shows. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Wow.
He did a New Year's show and he did a Halloween show, but he's like, oh, we're just pigeonholing ourselves by doing a Christmas special all the time. I'm like,
is that when they did the Doctor crossover episodes?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. Okay. But I did like Jodie Whittaker and her presence in the role, just the writing let her down so much, and my kids were so excited to have a woman as the Doctor.
Sure.
And they were like not interested to watch it after we watched a few of them, because the storytelling got so bad.
Right. But
I'm trying to power through it, because I'm like, I will be caught up in time for the new one, which is Russell T. Davies coming back to the show to take over as showrunner again.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one who rejuvenated the franchise in the first place with the Ninth Doctor. So
turn it around. Christopher Eccleston started up. Yeah.
Okay. So when Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant were on Doctor Who, it was Russell T. Davies showrunner.
Okay.
And the one thing that I read that I actually liked that I read about the difference between the era of Davies and Moffat, because Moffat followed him with Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi, who, Jeff, I swear you would love. I know you haven't been in Doctor Who. You would enjoy it.
Peter Capaldi. His work as the Thinker in the Suicide Squad was quite nice.
He is terrific. But it was Davies as the showrunner cheated on the science to get the emotion.
Uh-huh.
And Moffat cheated on the emotion to get to the science.
Hmm. No happy medium anywhere, huh?
Well, it's like you can lean into one or the other. I can do things that make no sense from the science perspective, but the emotional beats are all right. Or I'm getting little false emotional beats, but people don't care because the science and the twists are satisfying enough.
Boy,
and this guy's getting neither one right.
I'd be a hard person to please there, because I want the emotional beats to be right from a dramatic storytelling standpoint. But I do love a good, at least plausible science-based science fiction story.
Yeah. And you get it. Like, you get a lot of the reverse the polarity, and you're like, nah, but the emotions are so strong and so interesting that you can let it go.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, drama trumps everything. If you don't have good drama, you don't really have much of anything.
Right. Anyway, we got off on a tangent because you refused to watch the Doctor Who Christmas special, but that's fine. I'll watch them by myself when it's 10 degrees here next week. Thank you.
Ew, don't remind me.
Long weather. But thanks, Jeff, for reading these with me. I know we'll talk to each other before then, but for the listeners, thanks for sticking with us through our DC Christmas with the superheroes, and we will talk to you soon. Cheers, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to all. Well, we already did that one. All right, Jeff, what do you think? I'm in.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy. At our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com. Or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.